The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
U.S. President Donald Trump yesterday announced that he was putting Washington, D.C.'s police department under federal control and deploying the National Guard to combat a wave of crime, which he described in a press briefing. Now, this is despite the fact that official figures show that violent offences hit a 30-year low in 2024 in the American capital. In a moment, we'll get full analysis from Larry Donnelly. But first, some moments from the press conference yesterday. Trump announced the move in the White House press briefing room, and he started by trying to get the audience of reporters on side with the justification for his action.
And you people are victims of it, too. You know, you're reporters, and I understand a lot of you tend to be on the liberal side, but you don't want to get mugged and raped and shot and killed. And you all know people and friends of yours that happened. And so you can be anything you want, but you want to have safety in the streets. You want to be able to leave your apartment or your house where you live and feel safe and go into a store to buy a newspaper or buy something. And you don't have that now. Our capital city has been overtaken by violent gangs and bloodthirsty criminals, roving mobs of wild youth, drugged-out maniacs and homeless people. And we're not going to let it happen anymore. We're not going to take it. And, when you say take a look at numbers, I just saw some charts. These are different cities throughout the world. Red is, okay, the red is a place called Washington, D.C. Look at these. Baghdad is, we doubled up on Baghdad. Panama City, Brasilia, San Jose, Costa Rica, Bogota, Colombia, heavy drugs. Mexico City, I mentioned, Lima, Peru, all double and triple what they are. So do you want to live in places like that? I don't think so.
And one group he certainly does not want living in Washington, D.C. are homeless people.
We're going to be removing homeless encampments from all over our parks, our beautiful, beautiful parks, which now a lot of people can't walk on. They're very dirty, got a lot of problems. But we've already started that. We're moving the encampments away, trying to take care of people. Some of those people, we don't know how they even got there. Some of those people are from different countries, different parts of the world. Nobody knows who they are. They have no idea, but they're there. We're getting rid of the people from underpasses and public spaces from all over the city. There are many places that they can go, and we're going to help them as much as you can help. But they'll not be allowed to turn our capital into a wasteland for the world to see.
And despite immigrants being the target of many of Trump's actions, yesterday was slightly different.
But some of these people, a lot of them, are homegrown criminals. And these are bad people. These are rough people. And this is just a list of some of the people that were given to me today that were criminals removed from the D.C. streets this weekend. They were rough, rough and tough, but we're rougher and tougher. They're not going to be your local school teacher. Look at this guy. He has killed people numerous times. They're not going to be an asset. They will never be an asset to society. I don't care. I know we all want to say, oh, they're going to be rehabbed. It's not going to be rehabbed.
The National Guard was the centerpiece of Trump's announcement yesterday, but he also went into detail on what else people can expect to see on the streets of Washington.
You'll have more police and you'll be so happy because you'll be safe. When you walk down the street, you're going to see police or you're going to see FBI agents. We're going to have a lot of agents on the street. You're going to have a lot of essentially military, and we will bring in the military if it's needed, by the way. We're going to have National Guard. But Pete Hegseth will tell you about it. We will bring in the military if needed. People say, oh, that's so terrible. He's going to bring in. It's been used many times over the years. I don't think we'll need it. I think we've got so many great people.
And those people working in Washington will include the FBI, ICE, the DEA, the ATF, the Parks Organization. All of them will be helping to clean up Washington, D.C. Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway, columnist with the journal.ie, joins us now. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, what do you make of this? The federal government taking over a local police force in the nation's capital?
Well, at a personal level, I find it deeply worrying and evidence of authoritarian impulses. How does it go down politically? That's a different story. The common perception in the United States is that very many American cities are cesspools, that they're overrun by crime, that they are violent places to be. They are not safe for the citizenry. When Trump talks about law and order, he is very much on solid political footing because, again, in the heartland, in middle America, that is how cities are viewed. And indeed, many residents of cities, law-abiding people, they've expressed their perception that the places are not safe. Democrats, in response, are citing the statistics. But whenever you get into a battle over statistics, I'm afraid you're losing. Yeah. So all in all, this is a political winner for Trump.
Okay, so the reality will, of course, determine how it is ultimately viewed. I mean, if people feel intimidated by military people on the streets. You know the way you go to various countries and you never see a soldier and you feel very safe. And then you go to other places and the military are everywhere and it makes you feel unsafe, not secure, because you're not used to seeing armies on the ground.
Absolutely. And the answer to this really, Pat, is many more police officers. And that's why the response of Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has been dead on point. She's talking about the fact that the federal government has effectively stolen an awful lot of money from Washington, D.C. What the answer here is Washington, D.C. to hire many, many, many more police officers on the streets. And for Democrats to say that is the response here. What Trump is trying to play, and he's played it very well, in the past, is this idea that Democrats are soft on crime, that he is there to lead the charge on this front. Democrats are weak. And I'm afraid that when Democrats start talking about statistics, that's the wrong response politically. What Mayor Bowser is saying, that is dead on point, that she wants more police officers. And I agree. It's not National Guard's people who are the answer. And it should be said that these National Guard people, they're the very last ones who want to be on the street doing a job which really should be done by police officers.
Now, you know, we cannot really cast the first stone because we've had recent attacks on the Indian population here in Ireland by really disgusting people. So there would be an instinct here, I think, to get more police on the ground, but not the army, but police on the ground to control that kind of behavior. And people may be instinctively drawn towards Trump's plan.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. But I think Democrats need to talk about not just, you know, policing in raw sense, not just a police force, but a police service. And they need to talk about things like community policing. That is, people who grew up in those neighborhoods becoming police officers, people who are known on the streets, people who have relationships, who know neighborhood by neighborhood, block by block. They can make a real difference. And investing in that is something that's worthwhile. We all know, having been in cities around the world, that you do feel a sense of comfort when you walk around and you see police officers on the street. You do feel, in many instances, more safe. That needs to be at the hallmark of Democratic messaging on this, not stats, and certainly not any return to the defund the police and other messaging we heard in the wake of George Floyd's murder.
And we have a situation where it appears, since most cities are Democrats, that it's a double win for Trump, that he undermines democratic management of cities while claiming it's about something else entirely.
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, again, in raw political terms, this is a win for Trump. I mean, the fact is, most American cities are Democratic run. I mean, they're diverse places. They're comprised largely of people who lean to the political left. So, yes, this is a winner for him. But again, the key is how Democrats respond to all of this. And the question is, as has been posed numerous times now, Trump is putting this front and center. There's an awful lot going on in the United States and in the world. And perhaps, you know, he's putting this front and center because he knows it's a political winner, whereas he's vulnerable on other things.
Now, the big action, of course, this coming week, this week, is the trip to Alaska. Now, he slipped up yesterday, said he was going to Russia this week, which he ain't. He's going to some place that used to be Russia, that's Alaska, where he's going to meet Vladimir Putin. And in advance of that, he was touting his record at ending wars.
We solved five wars with Pakistan and India, with we just solved one, Azerbaijan, and as you know, and Armenia. A war was raging for 37 years, And the two leaders got up and they said, we never thought this would be solved. Russia tried to solve it. They all tried to solve it. It was a very tough situation, but we got it done. But we did many of those. We did in the Congo and Rwanda. That's been going on for 30 years. 8 to 9 million people killed that they know of. But it was raging, and we got that solved. We got a lot of them done.
Now, when it comes to the war that is currently ongoing in Ukraine, he had a swipe, really, at President Zelensky.
I was a little bothered by the fact that Zelensky was saying, well, I have to get constitutional approval. I mean, he's got approval to go into war and kill everybody, but he needs approval to do a land swap because there'll be some land swapping going on. I know that through Russia and through conversations with everybody. To the good, for the good of Ukraine. Good stuff, not bad stuff. Also, some bad stuff for both. So there's good and there's bad. But it's very complex because you have lines that are very uneven. And there'll be some swapping. There'll be some changes in land. And the word that they will use is, they make changes. We're going to change the lines, the battle lines.
So criticism of Zelensky, but no criticism of the invader, Vladimir Putin. It remains to be seen whether Putin and Trump together, Larry, are just laying a trap for Zelensky, forcing him to say no to something and then turning the tables on him and blaming him for the collapse of any possible ceasefire talks.
Yeah, I mean, broadly speaking, I suppose, you have to say this might be a good thing, the fact that they are talking. And I say that not because of Donald Trump's negotiating skills or his vision or indeed the rudimentary language that he's using there. But I say that because the only way that this is going to end is through the involvement of the United States. Now, how it all comes to an end is anybody's guess. Trump says that he'll know within 2 minutes of meeting Putin whether there's a deal that can be done or not. What I suspect will happen is that Putin will just, hold to the line in the sand that he's drawn, which is effectively, yeah, we'll stop, but only if a set of hugely onerous conditions, which is all win for Russia and all lose for Ukraine. And Trump knows and Putin knows that Zelensky simply isn't going to accept those terms. So the thing continues on. And again, Pat, Trump said he was going to end this in 24 hours. As he himself now acknowledges, this is hugely complex. And sadly, I don't see an end in sight. If there is going to be an end, Trump is correct. There's going to have to be some give and take. But that means give and take on both sides. And what we've seen today is that Russia is prepared to take, but not prepared to give. And Trump is prepared to side with Putin.
Yeah, and then when the peace doesn't happen and he'll try to blame Zelensky, he just watches his Nobel Peace Prize dream go down the plug hole. Is he prepared to do that?
I mean, look, he clearly wants it, and that's why he's saying gross over-exaggerations, as in he solved seven wars. I think, in fairness, I think he probably has made some contribution towards what hopefully will be lasting ceasefires in those conflicts. But to say that he solved them all and nobody else could is patent nonsense. I think that the Nobel Peace Prize, which he badly wants, is probably a pipe dream. But that having been said, I think it's incumbent upon us all to wish that somehow his bizarre, strange tactics, using people like Steve Witkoff, who's manifestly unqualified to do the job that he's been charged with doing, that despite all of that, somehow, for some strange mix of reasons that I can't quite put together right now, we do get some sort of peace in Ukraine and indeed in Gaza as well.
Now, finally, I should go back to the original story today, which was the taking over of the DC police by the federal government. I mean, many people are saying, look, this is just another step on the road to total autocracy. He now will have control of all the government buildings in Washington, D.C. Should anything erupt, be it protest or otherwise, he's got his people on the ground there, people who will be utterly loyal to him. And it was extraordinary that all the people he dragged up to talk about what was going to happen, the first thing they did was say how wonderful he was. And, there's no such thing as bipartisanship anymore in the Capitol.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as I've said before, I mean, I don't 100% go along with the total fascist autocratic line, but there's no doubt that Trump has authoritarian impulses. And, you know, as we see him trying to exert control over virtually everything in the United States, I personally find that deeply worrying. But on the other hand, Pat, here's again the realpolitik of the situation is that Democrats have tried this line of attack a number of times against Donald Trump since he entered the presidential sweepstakes, or since he ran for president in 2015. And it has always fallen on completely deaf ears. And I'm afraid that that's a testimony to the jaded nature of the American people at this stage. And I'm also afraid that it explains in large part why somebody like Donald Trump could get elected president of the United States in the first place.
Larry Donnelly, Law Lecturer at the University of Galway and columnist with thejournal.ie. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.